Blog Talk Radio.
All right. What's going on, everybody? This your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is, what is today? Monday, February the 26th. February the 26th of 2018. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. As you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time really explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sisters, we want to drop some knowledge in your lap today. We want to talk about under, over, and understanding, my brothers and sisters, the fact that we lack spiritual power for a specific reason. The reason that we lack spiritual power, and spiritual power going back to all of the superhero movies. Like when we look at the Black Panther movie, we look at, you know, X-Men, Superman, you know, Spider-Man, Wolverine, Thor, and then the list goes on and on of superheroes. So they got superpower. They have power that's beyond the scope of most people's imagination. And it's interesting because we all have that power. We all have spiritual power, but the reason that we're not able to exude it, the reason why we are not able to be it, is because we don't understand it. So, for example, as a life coach, as somebody who has this life management system, the whole purpose of what I do every day is to help people understand themselves, meaning that the more I understand myself, the more I empower myself. Let me say that again. The only reason that you're not already more wealthy, more healthy, more wise, and in more of a great relationships is because you really don't understand yourself. So there is a misrepresentation of the divine self. So on a global scale, on a biblical scale, there is a misrepresentation of the biblical narrative. There's a misrepresentation of the divine presentation. That's why there can be no demonstration. There is a misrepresentation of the design of the divine. There is a misrepresentation of the divine presentation. That is why there is no spiritual demonstration. Now, let me say that again. There is a misinterpretation. But you are interpreting it wrong because it has been presented wrong. There is a misrepresentation of the divine presentation, which leads to a lack of demonstration. We can't demonstrate what has not been presented to us. So all of the modern technology that we have today is this hogmash of this multiculturalism and this materialistic Roman disposition. So all Western religions get their foundation from the Roman Empire or the Roman Catholic Church or what we call now the Protestant Church, which gets its orthodox foundation from this same place. All Abrahamic religions have this. It's not a bad thing. But spiritual power is the result of understanding universal laws. Now, the universal laws are manipulated by, or they are watered down by, the Catholic Church. So the Catholic Church, or any church, I say Catholic, but any Abrahamic religion is a watered-down version. It is an expression of the God of forces. So everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice, we all unknowingly worship the God of forces. Now, I have a book that I don't even sell it no more. I got a lot of flack. And at that time, kind of like if you go back, there is a show that I did where I changed my name from Master Teacher 33, and I said I was going to go back to using the name Brother Will. And the reason I did that, because I was questioning my authenticity. So the enemy's good. So you start to fall in love with yourself. You start to sense your power that was given to you by the Creator. And you start to walk in your true anointing. And people who are not walking in their anointing, they call you arrogant. They call you cocky. They say, look at it, person. They think you're full of yourself. And then there's some negative comments, either, especially if you're in my space, meaning where I am in the public eye, meaning that I share a lot of personal information. I talk about my relationships, my relationship with my wife openly, the flaws I've made openly. And then I get people who regurgitate what I just said back to me. And then they add a little something to it. And so what that does, the enemy's job is to make sure that you do not operate in the true divine essence, but you operate in a God force. Now, it talks about this in the book of Daniel, and I've already did the show on the God of forces that is being administered today. Now, what does that mean, administered? Well, the Bible says it this way in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 38. This is the misrepresentation of the divine presentation. So that way you don't have no demonstration. So Daniel chapter 11, verse 38. Daniel chapter 11, verse 38 says, But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold, silver, with gold, silver, and with precious stones and pleasant things. The current president comes to mind when I read this. The book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 39 says, thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Now he's talking about, or it mentions, inside of this verse, the God of forces, Daniel chapter 11, verse 38. Now, this God of forces that it talks about in the book of Daniel chapter 11, verse 38, is a God that is from the abyss that it talks about in Numbers chapter 13, verse 13. And it talks about Ashtaroth. Now, the show today is not about the God of forces. It's about this God being promoted instead of the real God. So all of the forces of nature, that's the problem I had at the root. I love the movie Black Panther, but at the root of the movie Black Panther is a God called Bast, B-A-S-T. She is the God of the cats, or the God of panthers. Nothing wrong with that. That just, you know, that's just Egyptian mythology or history. So if you get your power, however, from that, then okay, I got some concern. Now I know this because I didn't read about it in the book. I did it. I actually got power from something other than God. So I don't care where you get your power from. If you don't get your power from the big G, then that is a misrepresentation of the divine presentation. Well, Brother Will, what does that mean? Now I use alphanumerics and biblical theomathematics, which is a watered-down version of gematria. And if you, without getting into gematria or numerology, there is some concerns because if you use gematria, it comes from an occult, you know, astrology or Kabbalistic culture or root. Now, there isn't anything necessarily wrong with that until you forget where it came from. And then you start to worship the creation instead of the creator, which is the enemy's job. The enemy's job is for you not to have an etymology or a religion that has an etymological base, meaning that you cannot trace your belief system back to its source. The Bible says that every man should be able to give an account. You should be able to tell me why you believe what you believe. If you cannot trace your religion, your belief system back to the big G, then you are in trouble. See, Revelation chapter 13, verse 18 says this. Revelation 13, 18 says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. It is the number of a man. And his number is 600, 666, 666. So inside of the ancient text, there's this word inside of the Textus Receptus, Strong Concordance number G, 5516. You might want to write that down. Strong Concordance number G, 5516. 5516. There is this Greek word chi, C-H-I, where we get the word chi, where we get the word energy. And it is, or it has a symbol that looks exactly like S-E-X, but it has an X. But the X and the next two letters are in reverse. So it has an X, it has a symbol that looks like an E, it has another symbol that looks like an S. Remember, it's backwards on Earth. So you turn that symbol around, you got S-E-X. So sex is the chi that powers the universe. Now, I hope you don't believe me. I don't believe me. I just know the power of sex. I don't know about you, but every man I know, whether gay or straight, they are powered or they're driven. The little head thinks for the big head. Go throughout all of history, you will find that every war that was ever fought was over sex. In fact, I can't think, no, people don't do nothing. Men buy fancy cars for what? To impress women. Women, why do y'all put on fake nails, fake eyeliners to look beautiful? Why you want to look beautiful? Just because you like to look beautiful? You want to look beautiful because, like everybody else, there's this thing called sex. That's the force. But you got to trace it back to where the sex force comes from. So the book of Revelations, chapter 13, verse 8, tells us that all of the forces on this earth comes from a particular strong concordance number that has this word in it, H-E-X-A-K-O-S-I-O-N. For the sake of time, I'm not going to play it, blah, blah, blah. You can look it up. That's why I gave you the number. Now, that word, notice it starts off with, the word is pronounced, again, hexakasa. It has an underlining word with hexakonta. Hexakonta. H-E-X-K-O-N-K-O-N-T-A. Conta. And it has an underlining Greek word, hex. H-E-X. Now, I've been saying this for 25 years. There's a hexagon. There's a hexagram. There's a hexachord. The three immutable laws, 666, which is sex, 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 which is math, music, and language. But, you know, I'm a sharp black man from Forest, Texas. I don't know too much. That's the religion you got. Now, I know that's probably contrary to your theology. I understand. But there's a force inside of every church I've ever been to. It's underlining, though. Nobody talks about it. So when I go to church, I fight against that force. What is it? Sex. When I go to church, if I see Sister So-and-so with a tight dress on, why do y'all think men want women covered up from head to toe? Because men got a problem with sex. It's not necessarily the women. Just because a woman is a woman who's well endowed, is she supposed to, what's she supposed to do with her well endowment? Have you heard the story behind why, what's her name? Old girl with the blonde hair that was with Tony Romo. Oh, I forgot her name. But anyway, supposedly she went into pop music because she was singing Christian music, and everywhere she went to sing, everybody had a problem because she was well endowed and she was pretty. So all the men, while she was singing about Jesus and God, they were looking at her titties. Now, is it her fault that she got big titties? No. So what's she supposed to do? The fact that men got a problem with beautiful women, then the women got to suffer. Y'all gotta dress a certain way. Why? Sex. That's a force. That's a power. That power usurps the true power. Now let me make sure you understand, because we gotta trace it back. Remember, you gotta trace everything back to its etymological root. That's extremely important. So let's do a little tracing, shall we? Everything that we have been given to us, that at least from a Western Christian perspective, comes from the chi or the prana. Even the Greek letter XI, which Constantine used, and it is a symbol. And I did a few shows on that without getting off topic. And it's very interesting because it's C-H-I, where we get the English word, or where in the East, they get chi. Now, we're in the West, where there is a symbol that is an X and it has a P. All you got to do is just type in, and then again, this is called the chi row. the Chiro, C-H-I-R-H-O. Just go to Google and just type in C-H-I-R-H-O. Click on images, you're going to see a symbol. That symbol was given to us by Constantine. Now, let me make sure you understand the depth of the statement. Everything that we've been taught as a traditional modern day Christian was taught to us or was co-mingled with us, meaning that what existed before Constantine, what existed after Constantine didn't exist before Constantine. So we need to look at that. Otherwise, we got a misrepresentation of the design presentation, which again cuts off or neuters our demonstration. So most people do not understand that all of the details, all of the specific details that we have inside of most churches today or most religions today in the West, they all are a watered-down version of the original. So just in case you don't know, Emperor Constantine saw a cross in the clouds when he was going to war. Now, Constantine was a pagan. Well, he is a pagan. He was a pagan before he became a quote-unquote a Christian. Constantine said he saw this cross in the sky, and he said that he believed. Now, Constantine was a priest who had a bunch of peasants. All of his peasants was Christians, and all of the priests was pagans. Constantine had a problem. He said there's more pagans than there are priests, but he didn't know what to do. And while the story goes, he was sitting out in the battlefield. He saw a cross up in the sky. And then Constantine said that he believed that was Jesus, even though he didn't believe in Jesus, even though he didn't believe in the cross, even though he didn't believe in the Christian God. He said that he believed that that God was the mightiest God of war. So Constantine wanted to win a war. This is where the story goes from some historians. And so he needed a god of war. Now, the god that he had was Hermes. He was a god of war. But Constantine said that, hey, the pagans, they got another god. The peasants got another god. So Constantine said, hey, the peasant's god is a god of war. So I want to connect with that god. So what Constantine did is in the annals of history the greatest thing that was ever done in the histories of histories. So Constantine said that, hey, if I connect with the God that all of my constituents have, number one, I would win them over to my side. Number two, I'm going to have more people to fight for me. Number three, I'm going to probably win this war. Not because of Jesus, but because of everybody that he ruled over believing Jesus. And he was hoping Jesus would help him. So Constantine defeated all of his armies by adopting this sign. And it was the sign of the Chiro. It was the X and a P. So this represents the first two letters of the Greek Christos or Christ. So in Greek, Christos, again, means drugged one. So the Greek inscription had a word. It was spelled, I can't pronounce it in Greek, but in English it's spelled E-N-T-O-U-T-O. N-T-O, I guess. And then the word Nikea. Well, we get the English word Nike, which means God of war. Nike is the shepherd's crook. It's the God of death. So but it's pronounced like Nikea, N-I-K-A. So this Greek phrase, E-N-T-O-U-T-O-N-I-K-A. That Greek phrase means within this you win. Now, let me say that again. Now, this is basic history. I'm not making this shit up. Yeah, look it up for yourself. Greek history. Now, I don't know why we got a Greek. Why we got a Aramaic God, but we got Greek letters and a Hebrew and Hebrew letters from a Aramaic God or Aramaic individual. Another study for another time. But let's just go with the story, at least according to history. So Constantine knew that there was some energy, some force, some frequency, some wave, some vibration in symbols or sigils or signs because he was a pagan. Constantine understood. Christians didn't. Christians weren't pagans. They didn't know anything about sigils and sigil magic. Constantine did. So Constantine had a symbol. You call it a logo. Anybody got a logo? I got a logo. You in business? First thing a business does, they get a logo. Why? Why do you get a business logo? Because it means in Latin, in this sign, you will conquer. Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. So when you see that sign, the chiro, the C-H-I-R-H-O, that was the sign that Christians carried to depict Christ. It is a symbol that is a sigil where all of the sigils, this is called sigil magic. This is called runes. This is called runic magic. That's why in the movie The Doctor Strange, in that movie Doctor Strange, what is he doing? What does he practice? He's practicing sigil magic. Sigil. And I like the movie Doctor Strange, but you like the movie Black Panther? Christians watch this stuff, they'll have no idea what it means. I know. I used to be a pagan. I understand this shit. But a lot of people don't. Now, am I telling you this because of, I'm just trying to tell you why you ain't got no spiritual power, because it got pagan roots. But I understand this because I used to be a pagan. I got my power from paganism. I didn't get my power from Christianity. But Christians who are pagans, they don't know they're pagans, because no pagan is telling them. And so this word means, in this sign, I will conquer. And it says nothing about God. It's about the God of forces, the God that's underneath. Now, that sigils, again, are runes. Runes are rituals. They are seals. That's why every king had a ring back in the day, and he had his signet that represents his seal. That seals your cells so he can use your chi or your prana. This is a misrepresentation of the image of Christ. And therefore, it avoids the power of Christ, because really, this is idolatry. That's what God says, you should have no graven image before me, because God knew they were coming. And they hear, and they're inside of all the movies, and most Christians don't have a clue. Now, I could ain't put no money, and then put no money in or taking no money out of my pocket. But it's my job. I'm a master teacher. I'm just not a teacher. I'm a didactic teacher. This is my job. I do this for a living. I get paid well to do what I do. So now the result of combining paganism and Christianity, this was done by Emperor Constantine. There is a movie called Caesar's Messiah. It's for free on YouTube. I triple dare you to watch it. You're not going to watch it. Because you know why you ain't going to watch it? You're scarred. You know what I'm saying is the truth. Your gut tells you that. Your spirit. God's been knocking on the heart. He's been trying to tell you to wake up, but you don't want to wake up. They have a form of godliness, but they don't have no power. How do I know? I did it, dog. I didn't read it in no book. So what we got now is universalism. We got a universal religion that worships the sun, the real sun, which is the sick or the cyclical. It's the Nike symbol. It's the symbol. You ever seen a symbol of Islam? Anybody kind of looks like a U? What is that? That's the sick. That's the cyclical. That represents a Christian duty to serve the empire underneath God. Just don't say which God. So the problem that we have, the reason that we have no power, especially in the West, is because Emperor Constantine created this new Christian empire. He incorporated the Roman concept or construct of loyalty to the empire. We call that nationalism. We call that citizenship. We call that patriotism. Never before. In the movie Black Panther, the lady with the bald head was going to kill her own husband because she said, my allegiance is to the crown. It's to the throne. It ain't to no individual. That's Roman Catholicism. That's paganism. That's not biblical. Now, the movie is just a fictional movie, fictional character. You know, it's for entertainment purposes only. I understand. Trust me, I do. I like the movie, too. I'm going to go see it again. Sit in the front row with my popcorn. That ain't no good for you. So I understand. I'm not talking down. I'm not saying I'm better than you. Hell, I'm worse than you. I remember y'all just reading this stuff. I did it. I didn't read it. I did it. So the blood is on my hand, not yours. Constantine created Christianity, at least the version that we got. It was incorporated by Constantine to include obligation to military service. Why y'all think I went into the military? See, I don't know. You talking about played, as I told you guys before, Willie Lynch, that's me. It's all about nationalism. That's why you stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. United means many come together. States means ruling disposition. Those are demons, homie. And you pledging allegiance to a group of demons? We all do. We all went to elementary school. Why they call it elementary school? El means God. Ment means mental. That's the God of forces. Now, when I was a little kid in elementary school, nobody told me that. Did they tell you that? If they would have told me that at 5 or 6 years old, I would have looked at them and say, can I go play now? I could care less. But I'm not a kid no more. The Bible says when you're a child, you thought as a child, you act like a child, you do things like a child. But you ain't a child no more. There's no kids listening to the sound of my voice right now. At least there shouldn't be. When Emperor Constantine created his Roman Empire, he incorporated Christian beliefs. But he made sure he kept more pagan than Christian. And Emperor Constantine, at the Council of Nicaea, in 325 AD, he constructed what we call, again, the church principles that we hold today. Now, they got fancy names for them, whether it's called the Apostles' Creed or blah, blah, blah. Every church, whether you're Lutheran, Methodist, Presbyterian, they all came from Constantine. You can trace, now, again, do the etymology. I'm an etymologist. I trace shizness back to its cause, to its root. To its original. Because if you don't pull it out from the root, that sucker going to grow right back. So when I go in the backyard, usually I don't go. My wife goes out there. But I watch her. When my wife goes out there, she pulls the weeds from their root. Why? She don't want it to grow back. So when I teach from the root. Why? I don't want it to grow back. So I got dogs that hunt. Because I pulled out from the root. So I overstand. Okay, Brother Will, what do you understand? I understand that what Constantine did was the greatest thing. He was definitely empowered by Lucifer. I don't think he could have thought of this on his own. He totally neutered and removed the power of God while maintaining the essence of God. So he successfully is promoting Christianity while at the same time demoting Christianity. Oh, man, this dude was a genius in a bad way. So now he is promoting, he basically eliminated Christianity by at the same time promoting Christianity. All he did was just include pagan priests and pagan priestesses and temple goddesses and temple worship. So we replaced holy days with holidays. Thank you, homie. Constantine. So what we got is Constantine's Messiah, as I've been saying for 25 years. We don't have the original. Now, the original one is he's there, but he's been replaced for pagan temple gods and goddesses. Now, ain't nothing wrong with that. It just depends on, you know, how you want to slice it and dice it. If you want to be, like for me, if I want to be a pagan, I'm going to be a pagan. I don't want to be, you know, half pagan and half Christian. Either I'm going to be a pagan or I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to hell on my own terms, and I'm going with gasoline draws on. I'm gonna bust the door wide open. I'm not gonna tiptoe in. So I want to know the truth. I'm not interested in King James Version. Now, I've asked, I've begged, and I've pleaded for everybody to do this. So let me do this for you in case you have not already engaged in my linguistical activity, which is everything on this earth. So let me make sure why you know why you have no spiritual power. It's due to the God of Lane Goo Age. Now, I've already broke that down, so I already had to show that breaks down Lane Goo Age. But I just need you to understand that Lane Goo Age, he has seven systems in place to disconnect your seven chakras. Heavenly Father, test the minds of your people. Now, I have this inside of my book, again, Grammar Grammaria Grammatus. And so for the people that may not understand, Lane Goo Age, again, is how we use sounds to control mass of matter. Let me say that one more time. Language is a linguistical diatribe. It's a system of linguistics that use signs and symbols. What did Constantine use? A sign or a symbol. So we go out there, there are street signs and symbols. In fact, we live in a world that's controlled by signs and symbols. That's what language is. Language is a set of signs and symbols. So we all got them. We all got signs and symbols. Now, is anything wrong with that? No, there's not. I just want to use the good signs and the good symbols, not the bad ones. So my job is to identify signs and symbols and help you identify signs and symbols so that way you can be wealthy, healthy, wise, and you can maintain, great relationships. Okay, Brother Will, how are we going to do that? Well, I do that inside of my life management system. Okay, Brother Will, your life management system is off the hizzle, fo, shizzle. So what's included in it? Okay. But the life management system is based upon phonics, phonology, morphology, syntax, semantics, pragmatics, and historical linguistics. Okay, but there were seven things. Absolutely. I've done this show. I got a seven hours? Yeah. Yeah, 7 hour series. I think it's seven or 10 hour series on that. What does that mean, Brother Will? Well, if you go to dictionary.com and you type in the word linguistics, you're going to see those seven things. That's the definition of the word linguistics, which is the definition of the word Lane Goo Age. So you beat the God of War with war. What kind of war? Number one, phonics. You got to know that. Number two, phonology. That's how you phone the spirit realm. Number three, now look at the word phonics, which is the word phone ticks. Look at the word phonology, which is the word phone that uses the word. Look at the word morph, which means to change form, ology. Morphology, that means change your form using words. What am I doing right now? I'm changing your form by using words. Am I not? I change your mental disposition by the words that I use. That is lame. That means you're using language to fight language. Syntax, that means that there's a sin, S-Y-N-T-X. There's a S-I-N on your tax, or there's a tax on your sin. If you sin, you're going to get taxed. So don't sin. So that's what stopped me from sinning. I don't want to be a sine wave no more. I got tired of going up and down, up and down, up and down. I got tired of being bipolar. But I didn't get tired of doing the action. I got tired of paying the price. I got tired of being taxed. Syntax. Semantics. I got tired of understanding that semantics is like the word cemetery. That means signify or sign. That means to be demoted. I got tired of being demoted. So when you sin, you get demoted. So people going to keep sinning until they realize there's a tax on sin. What's the tax? You get demoted. You got to go back and you got to start all over again. I got tired of starting all over again. So I stopped because I started understanding language. Because the God of this world, he's a God of language. He's a linguistical God. Because language is sounds and symbols. He put sound inside of symbols. He put symbols inside of sound. That's what's called, again, runes or runic magic. Then the next thing is pragmatics. Pragmatics is practical mathematics. This is how he controls. That means that every word and utterance that you make has something inside of it that causes mass of matter to move or to change form. That's called pragmatics. Now, again, I'm just going over this because I've taught this a bunch of times already. And the last thing is historical linguistics. That means that your linguistics are not historical. What I'm doing right now is historical linguistics. I'm not just talking out the side of my neck. I got history. So if you don't have no historical linguistics, your dogs don't hunt. So thus, a lot of people say a lot of shiznits, but they ain't got no historical facts. What I just shared with you is historical facts. I'm not making this up. So you can historically research the fact that there was an emperor named Constantine, and the emperor was losing. He was getting his aspiritis whooped. And so he didn't want to give up paganism for Christianity. So he combined them, and he fooled all the Christians into believing that he was a convert. He never gave up none of the stuff that he believed in. He got Christians to give up their stuff. So what did Christians believe in before Constantine? They believed in the same thing that Jesus believed in. Jesus doesn't do nothing of the current, well, at least the real one. He don't do nothing that I see in church today. Nothing. Nothing. Now, one thing that goes on in modern day church that Jesus never prayed in public. He said, when you pray in private. Pray in secret. I can't find nowhere where he prayed in public or he did an altar call. There's a lot of things. Now, there's a few things. I'm trying to think of a couple. I know there's some. There's a few things that the church does that Jesus does or did. So we got to return to the true authentic. So this is what separates me from the men, or separate the men from the boys. So what does that mean? That means that the current money, power, structure was given to us. Jesus was not about money. He was not about power. He wasn't any seen. He didn't even have a place to lay his own head. He went into that, the stuff that we're into. We meaning us in the West. So Constantine introduced this stuff called consolidated power. We call it nationalism. We call it basically some type of hierarchy. All of these different rank structure. Some people call it order. But we have a order that comes from the Roman Empire, and it doesn't come from a biblical system. So you're getting Roman, or you're getting worldly power. You're not getting biblical power. Now, let me make sure that you understand what this means, because when Constantine created his Christian empire, he incorporated all of the Roman concepts of citizenship. And to be a citizen of Rome, first thing you have to do, you have to pledge allegiance to Rome. You had to pledge allegiance to that if your number got called, you would volunteer or be drafted into military service. That's why in church, first thing they do is they put you into some type of a service. You want to be an usher? You're going to be a deacon? You're going to be a park lot ministry? That why? Because this is how you control. So Constantine knew this. So Constantine put this into the church. So Constantine passed laws that required the state to do certain things. And then he passed those same laws, or he empowered the priests to pass the laws so that they to force the same behavior into the members of the church that was also into the citizens of Rome. Because he wanted the members of the church unknowingly to conform to his ideas, whether they were wrong or right. Then Constantine was a genius by restructuring all of the church dogma, all of the church rules and regulations, when he established the Council of Nicaea. And at the Council of Nicaea, the church Bible was reduced to 66 books. Before that, it was a lot more than 66 books. But Constantine got people together that agreed with him, and they removed all of the books outside of the Bible that did not align with paganism or his belief system. Basically, Constantine eliminated the power of the church by dictating his theological philosophy. Now, whether you believe that or not, another study for another time. I'm just telling you basic history according to the history books. So after Constantine, we got a version of Christianity. Notice what we got. That's why every Bible you got, it will say version on it. Show me a Bible that doesn't say that on there. I've seen the International Version. I seen an Old English Standard Version. I seen the King James Version. Every Bible I see has that word version on it. Have you seen one that don't? I haven't seen one. They say they exist. I have never seen a Bible that does not say virgin on it. Anybody else? I don't know. If you got, take a picture of it and send it to me. I've never seen a Bible that doesn't have this word on it, V-E-R-S-I-O-N, version. Now, I ain't the brightest tool in the shed, but I'm in the shed. In the shed, I mean the word version means a particular count. It means from one's own perspective, dictionary.com. The word version, my brother, the word version, my sister, means verse. And it means I own. Version means I own verse. So there is a verse that I am on. That's my version. That's the way I see it. Now, the word version gives us the word verse. The word verse gives us the word versus, V-E-R-S-U-S. Now, again, I'm a didactic teacher. I use etymology to break shizness down to its original source. It means a turning. It means to turn away from. It comes from the Latin word verter, which means to turn. It also means, from the old English, I'm not making this up, you can look it up, go down to dictionary.com, go down to the very, very bottom of the page where it says word origin, history of the word virgin, it means destruction. It means the destruction of a particular form or a description. So I want to destroy a particular form or the description of the original. I'm going to give you a version of the original. But I ain't giving you the original. Now, I got most people I know, they got the King James Version. And everybody know that King James was a homo flammo sapien. Or if you don't, well, you know, just do a little research about King Jimmy. Now, the word verse, V-E-R-S-U-S, it means against one or against a particular one. It means to turn aside or to turn opposite. It means to turn over or to turn against a verse. Now, if this was so obvious, I would, like, yeah, I'd be teaching about how to make money. But this is why my mother died before her 40th birthday. Because she got the wrong version. What version you got? The word literally means to turn toward or against. Let me say that again. Heavenly Father, touch your mind. Why you ain't got no spiritual power? Not you, but people you know. Why I started God, why did my life change after January the 1st of 2009? After I was a licensed and ordained minister, I had been in the church since birth. Everybody in my church is licensed preachers or singers. Everybody. At least on my mother's side. Now, I'm the only one in my family that overstands this. My brother, thank God, fell off the wagon. Sisters, everybody's like, you know, I'm their brother, so, you know, they're going to be cordial. The only difference between me and 99% of the population is I had something called pain. See, when I had a toothache, I still haven't handled it, but when I go through, toothache does something. It tooth hurts, it increases the pain. When the pain in your jaw gets to a certain point, you're going to go get some compliance. Everybody got different pain thresholds. That's why I never try to save nobody. I never try to talk to nobody. I'm doing this on Blog Talk for free. If you don't like it, you can just disconnect. Now, the old me, like, I was like, you know, like, I would want to go help people. I want everybody to know the truth. People are interested in the truth. People are interested in the money. People are interested in their lives. So who am I to go to try to change people? And that's not my job. When people get enough pain, they will seek compliance. That's universal spiritual law. What Constantine did is the greatest thing, the greatest trick that was ever done. Constantine performed a shotgun marriage, basically, a shotgun wedding with paganism and Christianity. He successfully promoted his version of Christianity by granting power and by granting wealth to the Christian priest and to the bishops who supported him. And the ones that didn't, have y'all heard of the Crusades? I don't know if y'all heard of the Crusades. These were done, this was Christians that did the Crusades. Y'all have heard of the Salem witch hunt? This was Christians who did this. Christians, Bible thumpers. The lady that beat me, guess what she was? She was a Christian too. Now, I ain't got nothing against Christianity. I just like history and I just like truth. That's it. I don't give a damn where it come from. If the devil got the truth, I'm going to hang out with him. If he don't, I'm not interested in talking to him. I just like truth. I don't know. I'm just kind of crazy. I'm just kind of thumped in the head like that. I think I got dropped on my head when I was a kid. Too many hits in the back. I don't know. Something happened. Something happened, but I like truth. And during the Crusades, they didn't like truth. And they burned you with your books. Y'all heard of the Cathars? All of this happened during the Crusades. The Crusades was the Christian campaign. Notice the word Christian. Christian campaign in the Holy Lands. The Christians said that, hey, we're going to go and liberate Jerusalem. And so anybody that did not believe like them, basically they didn't have bullets back then, but they fried a lot of folk. Why? Because the folks didn't have no power. So I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I'm interested in one thing. I'm interested in one thing only, spiritual power. I'm not interested in, I've already had the other power. And now it's pretty good too. I ain't gonna lie to you. The devil got some good, he got some good shizness. Unfortunately, it just comes at a steep price. It's called your soul. He wants to control your mind, your will, your emotion, your imagination, and intellect. So you wake up one day and you just pissed off. You don't even know why. Why? God of forces. You wake up one day and you just want to change your sex. Why? God of forces. You wake up one day and you want to fondle little boys. Why? God of forces. You wake up one day and you want to lie on your taxes. Why? God of forces. You wake up one day, you want to cheat on your wife. Or wife, you want to cheat on your husband. Why? God of forces. You woke up one day and you just want to throat punch somebody because they don't agree like you. Why? God of forces. You woke up one day and you just want to, you know, go over to your neighbor's house and take his shiznits. Now, it's his stuff, but he's going out of town and the house is vacant and you just want to, you know, you want what he got. Why? God of forces. There is a force, a frequency, a wave of vibration. But it is not from above. It is earthly, central, and demonic. That's what it talks about in James 3. We did that a couple of shows ago. Then there is a wisdom. There is a power that comes from above. It is first pure. Then it is gentle. It is peaceful. And all of the other stuff that it talks about in James chapter 3. Now, these forces are at work. Your job is you got power, but it comes from one of those forces. Now, I need to make sure that everybody understands that the life management system, its power comes from the source, the big G, not the little one. See, I know the little G force, and so I point it out in people, and they get a little upset. Because the why? They all tell me the same thing that I used to say. Well, Brother Will, it works, brother. I don't understand. I'm making money. Yes, you're going to make money. I got digits. Yes, you will get digits. I got big muscles, homie. I can choke somebody out. Yes, you can get big muscles and you learn how to engage in warfare because you're learning from the God of War, Lane Gu Age. So sure, you can end lives. You just can't create none. You see, brothers and sisters, there is a power that does not come from above. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. It awards you as long as you favor paganism. Now, there's watered-down versions, but I'm talking about the one that corrupts your faith, where you turn your back on God. Even when I didn't know God, even when I turned my back on God and denounced everything that I knew, I never, ever denounced God. I just denounced Constantine's God. I denounce Caesar's Messiah. I've never turned my back on God, but I did turn my back on this modern day watered down willy-nilly bullshit that we got going on today. Why? Because there's too much suffering. that the devil got too much power. If you got, now, let me be clear. God allows you to go through stuff so that way you can grow and you can learn. God allows your faith to be tested. But it's something about when you're going through stuff and it's God ordained instead of self-made. So there is a misrepresentation of the divine presentation. Don't confuse Satan's power and God's power. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. Remember, his power is earthly, sensual, and demonic. You can always tell, earthly. That means the end game is in this earth. Meaning, it's all about money, or it's all about manipulating somebody. Meaning that it's going to benefit you here on the earth. It is earthly. It is sensual. That means it is sexual. That means it appeals to your five senses. This is his power. His power always appeals or benefits your five senses. Always. It's going to be, you know, right, going to give you more food. Your taste. Your eyes. It's going to appeal to your eyesight. It's going to appeal to your hands. It's going to appeal to your nose. It's going to appeal to your five senses. That's his power. It never appeals to your sixth sense. It always appeals to the lower chakras. It is earthly. That means it's going to benefit the earth plane, matter. There's no spiritual benefit. It is sensual, sexual. It benefits your senses. And it is demonstrative. It is demonic. It means it's going to have, it's going to benefit what you are doing. It's not going to benefit what you are being. You're not a human doing. You're a human being. It is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Demonic means demonstration. The power that comes from above, it is pure. And it doesn't got no evil intention. It is first pure. It is peaceable. It is gentle. And so this power that I'm talking about allows you to operate in the sixth sense or the spirit realm. You're going to intuitively know, oh, yeah, something's not right. And then on top of that, you're going to walk in the way of Yahushua, the real one, not the fake one, as presented inside of the Helios Biblios. See, the Bible talks about this. It says that the ways of this world, friendship with this world. See, Constantine's empire is built upon your loyalty to this world. I know a lot of people, man, they are in love with the shizness in this world. I used to be one of them. This is why the Bible emphatically says, love not the world or the things in the world. 1 John 2:15. That's how you know the power. You got the wrong power. If all you're interested in, man, you're not trying to help nobody. All you're interested in is getting a new car, new house, more money, more money, more money. Yeah, you got the wrong force, homie. Now, I know you're getting results. I understand. But you're going to be stuck like Chuck. Because where your heart is, so is your treasure. See, the Bible also tells us something. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Good, acceptable, perfect. Good, acceptable, perfect. You see, brothers and sisters, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So if you're hearing the same message, hang on, brother, your blessing's coming. Hang on, brother, your blessing's coming. You go back every Sunday, you hear the same message. Every Wednesday or whenever you go, you hear the same message, and there is no change. See, I did not change when I was in the church. I changed after I left the church because I started hearing things that was based upon truth, the truth, not a version. So if you're going through the same shitness over and over and over again and there's no change in your life, that's how you know you got the wrong force. You got a God of forces, it's just the wrong one. So all you got to do is just jump on the winning team. If your goal is life and life more abundantly, some people got a different goal. So it's very, very, very important, brothers and sisters, because we are on a journey for life and life more abundantly. But a lot of people's journeys are not biblically based. I talk a lot of trash about the Bible and about the church. But Yahushua, again, the true God, not a watered-down version of it, is a God of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, the God of war, he ain't got a snowball's chance in hell. Make sure that you build your life upon the sure foundation. Make sure that you understand that the enemy tried. He gave it his best shot. He tried to destroy the true, authentic gospel. And he came very close. And a lot of people are still struggling because they have a fundamental faith-based gospel that the faith is in faith. The faith is not in God. I used to have that faith. It was called the faith movement. I had faith in faith. I had faith in a principle. I had faith in the law of attraction. I had faith in my multi-level marketing company. I had faith in my diet. I had faith in my muscles. I had faith in the military. I had faith in my job. It's very interesting. This is what God did for me. I hope he doesn't have to do that for you, because this is a hard way to learn. I hope to God, Heavenly Father, touch the minds of your people. I pray that you do not have to learn like I did. Everything I put faith in, God took. I hope you don't have to learn like me. I hope you don't. People ask me all the time, well, Brother Will, you seem emotionally detached, brother. It's in your best interest that I remain emotionally attached. Because my name is Bethesda. It means builder of the temple that houses the Shekinah glory of God. I got a mandate, brother. I got a call that comes from the throne. And God removes anything and anybody that gets in the way of his call on my life. So although I love without ownership. Because everything I own, God takes. Now, it took me 68 jobs, 23 businesses, buku affairs. That's why I don't worship my children, because I love them. I'm not trying to end their lives. So I love them without owning them. I let them suckers go. Because if I don't let them go, God gonna take them. Everything that I put before God, he removes. And it's my prayer that you learn from my mistakes and not repeat them. So now I love, but I don't try to own. I don't try to control. I don't try to dictate. I don't be consumed. I put nothing before my relationship with God. I relate to God right now. This is how I relate to God. I don't need a building. I don't need nobody sprinkling no holy oil on me. I'm in a constant relationship. 24/7, 365. Every day, all day. When I wake up, when I'm sleeping, every day my mind is stayed on him. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. And people ask me all the time, Doc, how you do that, man? How do you pray without ceasing? See, the way that you pray without ceasing is G-O-D. The Bible says the whole gospel can be summed up in one verse. Love the Lord your God. G-O-D. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. The first is like the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. So how do I pray without ceasing? I am in contact with the grantor of destiny. If you are walking and talking and doing and being who God has called and gifted you to be, that act is prayer. Prayer is not something you do. Prayer is something you be. Prayer is the constant consuming nature. God is a consuming fire. So I'm consumed with teaching. I'm consumed with research. I'm consumed with doing Dear Kidney reports to help somebody else find their destiny. Because my life wasn't worth shizness until I found my destiny. Then when I found my destiny, then I found my place in this world. And when I found my place, then I found the person. Now I got a personal, private, productive relationship with the big G through the little G. not the fake one, the real one. You called him Jesus the Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, let me make sure you understand, because the church does serve a great purpose. That is, it introduces you into the sheepfold. That is the foundation that it talks about in Hebrews chapter 6. And it's very important that, man, that if you find a good, real church that has true, unconditional love, then regardless of what they teach, God can still reach you. It's the message, not the messenger. I don't follow no messenger. I follow a message. Don't get it twisted. Never fall in love with a messenger. Messengers come and go. But the message? Oh, the message is the same today, yesterday, and forever. The message never changes. Messengers do. But message? Nah, bruh. The message never changes. And in just in case, for some strange stretch of the imagination, you don't know what the message is. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these three is love. Because it says in the love chapter, and let me close with this. Because this is what changed my life. I don't know about a lot of stuff. I'm not no great theologian. I turn my back on everything I learned in the seminary. And I turned it, I threw all of that away for one thing. When it talks about love the Lord your God, I needed to know what that meant. And there is a love chapter in the Bible. It's called 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's interesting because what is the most hated number on the planet? What is the number in all hotels that's not there? What is the most occult number? People think it's 33. It ain't 33. It's 13. You cannot find in most major hotels a 13th floor. Why have they demonized the number 13? Because God, the real one, has spiritualized the number 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Friday the 13th is the best day, should be the best day of your life. Because anytime you want to know the true, the real, the big G, agathon, this is what it means, love. God is love. He didn't create it. He is it. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with tongues of men and angels, and I have not love or charity, I am become a sounding cymbal, a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge, though I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and I have not love, I am nothing. So you can come to me, brother, and I say, I used to be one of these dudes that put a lot of emphasis on prophecy, a lot of emphasis on mystery. Oh, man, I love esoteric bullshit. I like research, brother. I like science and biology. Oh, I got a lot of knowledge. I got faith, man. You know what I'm saying? I understand the principles of faith. I can manifest stuff. I know the law of attraction. I know all that stuff. And it says, though I can remove mountains. But if I don't have love, I ain't worth shiznit. And neither are you. I mean, not you, but people that you know. So, brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, if you hang out with anybody that don't have that message, and I'm not talking this New Age version, because it lists the attributes of what true biblical love is. It ain't no feeling, like I thought. Now, love, real love, it makes you get up off your asparagus and do something, because it never fails. True biblical love is what Jesus brought to the planet, because it did not exist. That's why they're trying to make sure that the number 13 and the true original gospel you never experience. So the enemy has no problem with giving you King James Version, because it destroys the original. Why y'all think it's the number one selling book on the planet? Don't tell nobody I told you. I'm just playing. Well, brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. It is my prayer that if you don't hook up with the life management system, that you hook up with somebody who will assist you with coming in contact with the true Agathon, the big G, Yahuwah, and his son, Yahushua, who's known as God of love and the salvation of love. If you're not getting salved or saved by love, if you're getting saved by fear, like I did, that's counterfeit conversion. If you're not getting saved by love, if you're getting saved by fear, you've been indoctrinated into the Constantine gospel. You've been indoctrinated into a Luciferian agenda. That dog does not hunt. I already been down that road, spent 20 years in that, down that road. It doesn't lead you nowhere. You have to get saved by love. In other words, you have to be overwhelmed with a feeling of love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The other principles does not apply. That's spiritual power. Spiritual power has been misrepresented, and so they got a form of godliness, but it's not God. The true biblical God, he loves you so much, he lets you go. The true God loves you so much. Say, I love you, but man, if you don't want to be and do, you don't want to love me back, no problem. See you when I see you. True love is the ability to be attached with something without controlling something. The big G is attached to you, but he ain't trying to control you. He wants you to be voluntarily attached to him. He wants you to stay because you want to play. But if you don't want to play, he doesn't mind. That's love. That's power. True spiritual power is loving without ownership. It's the ability to control oneself, to not prostitute oneself, to not lower oneself, but to elevate oneself to a status that I'm worth something, brother. I'm worth something, sister. And I'm worth your time, your energy, your effort. So if you don't think hanging out with me is valuable, assalamu alaikum. The day and time of talking people into listening to your shows, reading your stuff, they don't see value in you. See it in yourself, because God does. Brothers and sisters, I love you. I appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May the sun bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach that set apart one continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.